Encouraged. I said every week is a little bit different. I was telling you, if you don't like the sermon or don't like the worship, come back next week because it'll be totally different. Jeff Sanders, our guitar player, is gone this week, and so it'll sound even different next week, but it sounded beautiful wherever Amanda is. She moved up front. There you go. It sounded beautiful just with the piano and Bob on the bass, so praise God for that. We're grateful to have people to help out, and such a blessing when people know what they're doing like Amanda, so. Praise God. Well, let's jump in and see what God has. I think you'll be encouraged this morning. God, we're going to start by praying to you and lifting our voice to you. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior, the one that redeemed us. And Father, we're trusting you this morning to do your work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, to as we focus on you and we zero in on some basic principles of Christianity and life, Father, namely praying unto you like we're doing right now. Father, we just pray that Father, penetrate our hearts and cause us to truly know you, to truly know your heart regarding prayer. And Father, that we yield ourselves to you and just simply go to you, run to you, cleave to you and ask. Father, bringing our requests unto you, Father, we're trusting you for it. Thank you for this time together in fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today I titled the message, The Prayer of Faith, and I'll explain why that is as we kind of go through it. The entire thing has to do with a phrase that I just kind of felt like God just kept saying, and it was the prayer of faith. So I wanted to share, you know, it's 4th of July, Independence Day. You know, it seemed appropriate to kind of share something more patriotic. If you really want a good, I think I can say this. If you want a good patriotic one, go listen to the one from a year ago. It was the 5th of July, and I think it was called Speaking Out. And I tell you, that one was just geared towards patriotism and standing up for what's right. But I wanted to speak more on patriotism this morning and our country and some of that stuff. And especially after I heard Margie, you know, we talk. Of course, we live together. We're married. So, and she said that she was going to be sharing on the some history of our country and some of those kind of things with the kids and how God, you know, did things and put us to where we're at today and some of that. And so I sought the Lord many times to no avail to get a patriotic something that we could share this morning and that we could go through, but I believe God had other plans. So the prayer of faith is the one thing that I kept hearing when I would petition God. I said, God, what do you want? It's July 4th, isn't it? You know, we know as well as probably anybody that God doesn't necessarily pay attention to the day as much as we humans do. So I think as I sought him about it, I ended up being convinced that there must be something very timely about this message because he wouldn't let me stray from it. So this is what we get. So the prayer of faith stems from a teaching that I taught a few weeks ago. So you might remember we took a closer look at what we coined some of the practices of outward evidence of your faith in Jesus Christ. And namely, you know, we coined them the spiritual disciplines. Okay, they are things that you should teach and train and discipline yourself to be in your life consistently as a God-fearing Christian. Something that is just naturally should be part of your life. Things like worship, like we just did, but I do it every day, and I know many of you do as well. Things like fasting, study, simplicity, okay, solitude, getting alone to spend some time with God, confession, service, giving, and of course the main topic for this morning's message is prayer. Okay, it's one of those things that should be in our life every day, pretty much. Jesus taught a lot on prayer. If you know your Bible a little bit, read through the New Testament, you'll see that he said things like, when you pray, not to use vain or repetitious prayers to recite things over and over again. He said not to pray like the hypocrites do, that they're just praying so people can take note of them, that they're this big prayer spiritual guy, whatever. Okay, they wanted everybody to see them pray. The disciples often saw Jesus himself praying, where he would go off alone to pray or tell them to go on ahead, I'm going to go pray and go up to a mountain or different things. They heard Jesus pray blessings over their food, obviously, when he multiplied some bread and some fishes and they didn't have enough and he lifts it up and says, you know, God, I thank you for this food. And so they got to see him praying over their food. They got to see him seeking intervention from Father God for healing and for miracles. And each time he would thank God that he was able to, that he was willing to do those things. So I think the disciples could see the importance of prayer in Jesus' life. And obviously, then eventually they asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. Okay, and some people, if you know, I grew up in a Catholic church, and so we are very familiar with the Our Father, okay, prayer being what Jesus kind of said after they asked him to teach them to pray. So Jesus taught, not just at that point, but other times as well, he taught them about praying in a way that pointed out the glory of God. Okay, so if you remember that particular passage, they asked him, teach us to pray, and he said, pray in this manner, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's about lifting up him and hallowing, glorifying, exalting him. Okay, he taught them about being thankful for who he is. Okay, for God being who you are, you know, hallowed be thy name, you know, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. It is about him and keeping the focus on God and his power more than what I don't see Jesus telling people to pray. He taught them to glorify, exalt God, worship him for who he is, thank him for what he's doing and already done, but never really pointed people to pray the problem, okay, which is sometimes what we end up doing. Christians love to pray the problem. God, I'm so broke and I just don't have any money and my life just stinks and life is hard and it's never getting better, and but God help me, you know. And so we throw this on at the end hoping that somehow that will kind of change things in our life. But Jesus was more apt to teach what you wanted to see, okay, rather than to pray the problem. God already knows what you have need of before you even ask, the Bible says. So there is things, and there are times that, you know, God, I'll take a specific need to God and say, God, that you know this is happening. You know what's going on right now, or you know what's happening in so-and-so's life. So let's just do something about that. And God, I know you're well able and willing, and lay it out there before him. Another thing that Jesus taught about prayer was he taught us to pray in his name. Okay, now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with devout Christians, but so often when they pray, they end their prayers with what? In Jesus' name. Okay, it's like this quote that has to be at the end of every prayer to make it work. Okay, the reason that Christians often say that at the end of their prayers comes from John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, so Christians have taken that to mean that you should say in Jesus' name at the end of all your prayers. But Jesus was not necessarily saying that you had to say the words in Jesus' name in order for it to be effective. Okay, we could take that to an extreme and say that your prayer is not going to be answered because you didn't say in Jesus' name at the end. It doesn't quite work that way. Okay, he wasn't saying that it had to be that literal, but he did want you to know that you are only a Christian, a Christ follower, because you believe in him. Okay, so when you pray, you are to keep him and everything that he did and everything that he stands for in mind as you pray. Because I'm praying unto God, and God can only hear me because of what Jesus did. Therefore, Jesus is part of this plan. He's part of this picture as I'm praying unto God. Okay? In another place, Jesus said, whosoever has seen me has seen the Father. Okay? Meaning that our reverence for him, our reverence for Jesus and who he is and what he has done, when we keep that in mind, we glorify and honor the Father then by praying. And so that's why so often that we do end prayers with things relating to Jesus, in Jesus' name, or in all that Jesus stood for, I pray, and we say, amen, so be it. So as we pray, our reverence for Christ comes into play as an element of our faith in the Almighty God. Okay, now we're talking about a prayer of faith, right? So, and if an element of our faith is that we keep Jesus in mind as we're praying unto God, because we are only made right by Jesus, by the blood of Jesus being shed for us, so we keep that in mind as we're praying. So what is prayer? Okay, prayer is simply supplication. It's intercession. Okay, it could be for yourself or someone else or a situation. It often involves a petition, okay, or a request. Now, sometimes we see petitions, if you're on Facebook or whatever, they have a petition to get somebody out of office or petition for this or whatever. Sometimes people, they used to in the good old days, some of you are old enough to remember when they actually went door to door to get petition signed. But the idea was something that you were gathering strength for, kind of thing. Well, the petition in this sense is more of a request. Okay, you're requesting something of God. Okay, and so you're seeking something that he definitely has the ability to do. The Apostle Paul is one that knew a lot about God, both from his own personal study under Gamaliel, but also his personal experiences, that he had endured so much as a Christian. By the time he was writing some of the letters, he literally wrote from prison or house arrest and other places where he was, had some of the things that he had been through, all the shipwrecks and the just so many things that he had experienced and seen the power of God. And so writing from that position, he knew a lot about God. And his expression or his statement to us was that we were able to keep from worrying about stuff by, quote, letting your requests be made known unto God. Okay, letting your petition be known unto God. In fact, Philippians 4:6 is where that comes from. Be careful or full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, we know that as the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, whom he considered to be, you know, his son in the Lord, somebody who's he valued very much and wanted to impart unto him. I think of it like a mentoring relationship kind of thing where, you know, I mentored unto my pastor for many, many years and still am to this day. I'll call him for things. But as part of that, I know that my pastor has my best interest in mind. He definitely wants me to succeed. He wants me to thrive. And as a good teacher or mentor, he wants me to excel him in every way possible, just like many of us do for people we're mentoring or for our children. Okay, well, as he's writing to Timothy, he said this, and I'm kind of summarizing it, but it's in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first three verses in there. This is basically what he says. He says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Okay, pray every way that you know how. Pray for everyone that you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well so that we can be quietly about our business of living simply and in humble contemplation. This is the way God, our Savior, wants us to live. Okay, and if you read 1 Timothy chapter 2, those first three verses in, oh, maybe an Amplified or a Message Bible or something like that, puts it in kind of a modern English, that's almost identical to how it's going to spell out. Prayer is something that Paul wanted Timothy to have, to know, to be a part of, to do on a regular basis, every day. Pray for everybody every day. Okay, prayer is powerful. It is a declaration of things that you want to see. You know, it is a confession of not only things that you want, but as you pray, it is a declaration that you wholeheartedly believe in and are dependent on God to see your desire realized. It's because it's something that is beyond you. I'm not, you know, whatever, I think of a good example, but praying for, you know, my feet to be strong enough to hold me up during the service. You know, I don't have to pray to God for that. I already know that. I've already realized that. I already have the strength in my feet to do that. Okay, well, John said this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Okay, in order to know that he hears you, the prerequisite there is that if this is the confidence, if we ask anything according to his will, okay, well, his will is by faith. Okay, stretching ourselves, putting it out there as this is something that I can't make happen on my own. I am praying according to His will. I am praying by faith. Okay, you have to believe in more than just the existence of God. Okay, how many people, let's see if anybody's sleeping, how many people believe in God? Okay, He's out there, right? We believe He's out there. Most of us believe He is in here, that we are the temple. Okay, that God has come inside of us. So we believe in, definitely in the existence of God. But when it comes to praying and having this prayer of faith, you have to go beyond just believing in the existence of God to go into believing that God wants to have a personal relationship with me. That He wants to fellowship with me. That He is hearing and listening and acknowledging my prayers. You know, last week we talked about the temple vision and how we are the temple of God. Well, under the Old Testament, it's interesting, if you start looking this stuff up, because under the Old Testament, prayer that came out from the temple in Jerusalem was said to have a special significance. You know why? Because God watched over the house of prayer every day. That was His thing. It was paying attention to what was coming out of the temple. Okay, just like that in our life today, you have to know that as a temple of God, God is paying attention to what is coming out of your temple. Okay, and if that's a request made known unto Him and His prayer, then that's exactly what happens. God watched over that house of prayer day and night to be attentive, to be paying attention. And in the same way, He is paying attention to your prayers today. You know, prayer is something that will affect your life, not only in the here and now, but also in your future. The outcome of your life, places you go, things you do, people you meet, can all be influenced by your prayer. You know, I worked several years ago, I worked in a hardware store, and I worked with a young lady that, she was a nice young lady, about the same age as I was. I call her young because I was kind of young back then, but she was a young lady, and she knew that I was a Christian. I was pretty outspoken and brought my Bible to work and all these things. I'd go read my Bible on my break or whatever, and so she knew that I had this relationship with God. So one day she came up to me and she says, "How do you know that God is real? How do you, you know, you talk about God like you're His best friend or He's your best friend, and you talk about Him like He actually speaks back to you." And so she had these questions and she said, "How do you know that God is real?" Well, I shared with her some testimony and kind of how I came to know Jesus personally and some of those things. But ultimately, before the conversation was over, I told her, I said, "Do this, just one thing. It's pretty simple. Go home, get alone by yourself, lift your heart and mind to God and ask Him 3 days in a row to reveal Himself to you. Just ask Him to show you if He is real or not." And I kid you not that gal came back to work 3 days later. She was off for the weekend or whatever, and I happened to be there when she came in. She beelines for me, and she's just beaming like a lighthouse. And you knew that something had happened. And she comes out to me, and the first words out of her mouth were, "You won't believe what God did." Okay? And so her story was all these miraculous things that God had done. He had just opened up the windows of heaven for 3 days on her, and she had no way to deny what was going on. And she said, "Now I know that God is real." So that afternoon or that evening after we got off work, we went out to a Subway and sat in that little booth in a Subway restaurant in Rapid City, South Dakota, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior right there. She went to church the following weekend and has been going to church ever since. And now, 20 years later, we keep connected on Facebook, 20 years later, she's married with kids and they're all going to church. Okay, they're all still believing and following Jesus. So that is one time where it was one prayer that she prayed, just to, you know, "God, show me who You are," just nothing big, but it changed the lives of not only her, but her whole family, and probably generations to come will be affected because of her praying that. And my point is that prayer is powerful when it comes to altering the direction of your life. And so often we're going through life and we're headed in a direction, but we're not praying it. We're not praying, we're just bouncing through it. We're just toughing our way through it. We're struggling with stuff, or we're, you know, just wandering aimlessly. I like to ask God what to do and where to go. I don't know about you guys, but I like that direction. I like to know that I'm right where He wants me to be. Okay? And when I am, then I can be confident that God has got me here. This is, I'm going to go through this or that or whatever, but I can be confident that I've heard God's voice. So it's extremely powerful when it comes to altering the direction of your life, both for the today and in the future. In fact, I would say that the act of praying is in and of itself an act of faith. Because you're acknowledging God and that He has access to stuff that I may not, and I'm going to enlist His help for these things. I think that's why I can wholeheartedly say that prayer is something that should be an everyday evidence of your faith in Christ. Okay? It is something that we do. We lift our voice unto God. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 16, James put it this way. He said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elias was a man that was subject, Elijah, okay, was a man that was subject to passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You know, a faith-filled prayer gets things done. Okay, and that brings us really to the scripture that prompted the title for today's message, because the Bible does talk about a prayer of faith. Okay, and that's in James as well, a couple verses before this, starting in verse 13. He said, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing. Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they too shall be forgiven." Okay, for 2 weeks I have been hearing these words in my spirit. The prayer of faith. Okay, just over and over as I pray and I'm talking to God about church or just in my everyday activities, and I keep hearing these words, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith. So I sought the Lord about it and sought, is there more to it than this? Is this something specific to this passage in the Bible? Is it having to do just with healing? Is it just a prayer of faith that is going to lead to miraculous healing or something taking place in someone's life? Or what I really wanted to know was, is there a bigger picture thing with this? Is it more than just the praying for healing? More of a big lesson in those words. And the answer that I got was that even though this is probably the most evident scripture related to the prayer of faith, every prayer that is prayed and effective is a prayer of faith. Okay, the reality is that every effective prayer is a prayer of faith. Okay, and here's how I know this. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. A prayer of faith then means that you receive what you pray for. Okay, and I'm going to keep narrowing this down until we get to the point that I think you'll understand what a prayer of faith is. Okay, prayer is, it's conversing with God. Okay, it is having a conversation, but I don't want to be graphic about it because I know we have some younger people in the room, but it is defined as intercourse of the soul with God. Okay, it is not in contemplation or meditation, but it is in direct address to God. In other words, it's not just thinking about God, but it is literally engaging in a personal conversation with Him. It is consciously setting aside at least a moment of time to commune with our Creator. Okay, it is that specific. It has been referred to, that's some angels, come on in here. There's nobody there. Praying has been referred to by Moses as beseeching the Lord. In 1 Samuel, it was put as pouring out the soul before the Lord. In 2 Chronicles, it was praying and crying to heaven. Job said that it was seeking unto God and making supplication. The psalmist said praying is drawing near to God. And the apostle Paul once called it bowing the knees unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It is bowing to Him. Prayer presupposes a belief in the personality of God. He is not some ambiguous out there, maybe He's there, maybe He's not. He's not some invisible, you know, thing that we've never seen or encountered. Praying presupposes a belief in the literal personality of God. It holds true to the belief in His ability and His willingness to have that intimate relationship with you. Okay, that's where, you know, like in the, I don't want to take it too far, but like kids, or not kids, anybody, that has like a, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of a fantasy about meeting somebody famous or whatever. Maybe they've, you know, thought about what it would be like to encounter this person. That is a little bit different than what we're talking about with prayer, because this goes on just the mental part, just the contemplating a conversation to a literal conversation, a personal real life experience with God. Okay, so here's the key to a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith can be defined as when a person makes a request to God for some specific good. Okay, it can be for yourself, someone else. It can be regarding a particular situation, a particular circumstance. When I say it is praying or petition, when praying is petitioning God for some specific good, I mean that you should ask for things that are tangible and not vague. Okay? An example is that you can pray for God to bless someone, and He certainly will. My pastor taught me that when you say God bless you to an unsaved person, the biggest blessing they need is to be saved. And so you're basically praying that God will save them. But you can pray for God to bless someone, and He certainly will. But if you know of a specific need, ask God for that. Ask God to bless them with healing in their lower leg. Okay? Or, you know, pray to God to bless them with the finances to pay off the debt with Memorial Hospital of Carbon County. Okay? You're not just praying for blessing in their life or good things, but you're narrowing it down to something that is a prayer of faith, because you will know when it comes to pass. When that guy walks into church and his leg's not hurting anymore, what do? Praise God. That's what I prayed for. You know that it came through, that God answered that prayer, and it was visible to your own eyes. You know, the prayer of faith is something that you'll know when it happens, because you'll see it when it happens. You'll see it come to pass. You can pray for peace for someone, but if you pray for peace in their mind so that they can get rest at night, now you have something tangible that I can talk to that person and say, how's your sleeping going? I've been praying for you to get more rest at night. Oh yeah, things are better. Okay, and if not, well, it hasn't been that great. I'll take it back to God. I am not afraid to pray again and petition my Father that, God, maybe I wasn't clear. Okay, He's not my genie. I'm not telling Him what to do, but maybe I needed to be more specific. So maybe I can pray for God. You know that relationship that they're dealing with, He already knows it. They're struggling with something. They're going through what they're going through. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus for peace in that relationship. I pray that You smooth out those rough edges. I pray that any division between those two is thrown aside, and that peace will come between them so that they can get the rest they need at night. I pray for that. Okay, and be more specific about it, because being specific, it's not a method. I don't like methods. You know, if you just do this and this and this, then God will bless you. I don't like that kind of stuff. But it is something that I have noticed, and I see it in the Bible, about being specific about what you pray for and not just praying in general terms. You know, we read a verse a few minutes ago about Elijah, who prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Okay? Then he went up on a mountaintop, and he put his head between his knees, and he prayed for rain. He sends his servant as an act of faith, go look over the sea and see, tell me if you see any clouds. Okay, that was the tangible thing he needed. I got to see a cloud, then I'll know this is coming. So he tells his servant to go look for a cloud over the sea. And his servant come back and says, nothing yet. So he continued praying and sending that servant to go look seven times before that servant finally comes back. And the servant says, there's a cloud, but it's just a little one, not much bigger than a man's fist. And Elijah jumps up. He says, great, go and tell Ahab. Rush as fast as he can to Jezreel, or the rain is going to be so strong that he won't be able to get there. And that's exactly what happened. See, Elijah was praying for something that he would know when it was on its way. He would know that it was almost there or beginning kind of thing because he would be able to see it. Okay, he had prayed for rain. So as soon as he saw or heard that a little cloud had formed, he knew that his request was about to manifest. Okay, that is a key point to that. The Bible reminds us that Elijah was a man like you and me. Okay, not necessarily somebody special. He was special in God's eyes, but so am I. So are you. Okay, we have that connection with God. All Elijah did was pray a prayer of faith by asking God, whom he believed in and trusted in, for something very specific. Okay, so my encouragement as we close this morning is simply to ask God for something. Okay, something that you will know without a doubt when it happens. Like that friend that I shared, just ask God to show you himself. I knew that that leaves it up to God. God could show him in whatever way he wanted to. He saved her from a car wreck. He did this, he did that, and he spared her all these things and caused all these good things to happen in her life. God definitely answered that prayer of showing himself to her. Okay, I encourage you to ask God for something today. Okay, and be precise. Be specific about what you're asking for. Ask him for something that you will definitely be able to see, and then believe that you already received it until you see it with your own eyes. Okay, till you know that it happened. Okay, then you're going to have the testimony, because who gets the glory when a prayer is answered? When you specifically ask God to answer it, God gets the glory. Okay, we point to him again and say, thank you, Father God. That's what I prayed. You, God, you did it. And God's getting the glory for it. So, Father God, we are praising you this morning. We're going to give you all the glory, Father. I know that you're doing a work in every heart in this room. I know that you're working on families and friendships and relationships. I know that you're at work in our workplaces and places where we go every day and fellowship. And, Father, I know that your hand is upon each heart. And Father, I pray that as we enlist things of you, as we seek you, we draw a petition out before you, we lay a request out there in front of you, God, I pray for these specific answers. I pray for those moments where it is a humbling moment of an aha moment, that oh my God moment, it is you doing what you do. Father, that people will call upon your name, seek you, and then thank you because they'll see it come to pass. Father, we're trusting you this morning. I pray that you have your way every day, Lord. That every day when we get up, we will seek you and find the answer specifically to where, to what, to how, to when, to why. Father, that you will show things to us like never before. That we'll have an understanding through your Spirit connecting with ours. Father, we thank you for these things. We praise you, we lift you up, and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we say, amen.